Turtle Island to Palestine. Occupation is a crime. Free, free Palestine. You're listening to Radio Free Palestine.
Welcome, everyone. You are listening to Under the Olive Tree, the Palestine Solidarity Radio Show on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal and on CFRC 101.9 FM in Kingston, Ontario. My name is Sausan Kadura. I will be your host for the next hour. With us on the phone, Bruce Katz. Bruce is a Palestine solidarity activist from Montreal, and he is the co-founder of PAJU, which stands for Palestinian and Jewish Unity, which is a Palestine solidarity group here in Montreal. On March 30th, as you know, and we covered several times on the show, Palestinians commemorated what they call Land Day. In Gaza this year, Palestinians organized, for that occasion, organized a large protest called the Great March of Return. And during that protest, tens of thousands of Palestinians took to the street to reaffirm their attachment to their land, their stolen land, and to remind the occupation of their attachment to their right to return to their stolen land. Around 80% of Gazans, I believe, are refugees. Also, they protested the blockade on Gaza imposed by the Israeli occupation since 2007. It is a land, sea, and air blockade. Robert Piper, the UN humanitarian coordinator for West Bank and Gaza, described Israel's blockade as an extraordinarily inhuman and unjust process of strangling gradually 2 million civilians in Gaza that really pose a threat to nobody. Now, the Israeli occupation forces responded to the peaceful civilian protesters with bullets. And they ended up on that day alone killing 17 Palestinians and injuring over 1,000, I believe 1,400 Palestinians. The Palestinian Health Ministry released a statement at that time explaining that they are finding difficulties, the hospitals are finding difficulties to even cope and give care to everyone due to this large number of casualties. Over 1,400 people were hurt and 17 Palestinians were killed at that day. Now, the Israeli military at that time tweeted and bragged even about the shooting. They said that they know where every bullet landed. Later, the military deleted this tweet, but it was widely seen as a sort of admission that the military targeted intentionally these protesters. Now, despite the violence, Palestinian protesters did not stop, and they continue until today to protest. These protests will go on until May 15, which is Nakba Day. That's reference to Nakba means catastrophe. It's reference to when in 1948 the Zionist militia basically took over 78% of Palestine, and as a result, they ethnically cleansed the land of Palestine to create the current state of Israel. So obviously, for Palestinians, this is a catastrophe for them. And like I said, protests are still ongoing. That means the killing, unfortunately, and shooting of these peaceful protesters by the Israeli military is still ongoing. According to the latest numbers that I saw, 41 Palestinians were killed so far. Some of them children, several journalists, two journalists at least were killed so far. And the injured, the number of the injured is reached almost 6,000 Palestinians. This just shows the sheer number of bullets these occupation military are just shooting on everything and everyone. So this is the background to our interview today. And now we're going to come back to Canada a little bit and look and ask ourselves, how did Canadian media cover this violence and this shooting and this massacre that is going on in Gaza and still going on until now? And we're going to look specifically into our public media institution, Radio-Canada and CBC, who faced backlash from many people, many activists, Palestine Solidarity activists, who saw their coverage lacking, let's just say, to say the least. And so we're going to understand why with our guest on the phone, Bruce. Bruce, not only through PAJU, participated in an action recently in front of CBC building here in Montreal, but also himself, he sent a letter to CBC, kind of objecting the type of coverage they've been doing on what is happening in Gaza. First of all, thank you, Bruce, for talking to us.
Thank you for asking.
So, like I said, you sent a letter to CBC to complain about their coverage of the ongoing kind of senseless violence against Palestinians in Gaza. Can you maybe start by explaining to us what is the thing that you saw on Radio Canada that you may
that... Well, let me tell you how I titled the letter. Mm-hmm. Titled it "Intimidated by the Pro-Israel Lobby." And I began my letter. I'll quote it to you. I said, "Once again, you were influenced by the pressure tactics of pro-Israel lobby groups such as Honest Reporting, and succumbed to their dictates, propaganda, and falsehoods, even in regards to the use of specific language." And following paragraph, I mentioned the fact that the CBC has tried to obscure Israel's premeditated killing of unarmed protesters by instead talking about clashes and confrontations and rock throwing. To me, there is a lack of accuracy. This is not about clashes, it's about a massacre. When you start talking about clashes, That is put there on purpose to make it seem that you have two equal opponents in a confrontation. There's nothing, there's no question of any type of balance here. What, there's no balance between snipers and unarmed protesters. There was no balance in Soweto when South African security forces shot down unarmed civilians in South Africa years ago. And it's the same quest, it's the same thing here. Gaza in 2018 is Soweto. It's contemporary Soweto. So I continued on in my letter objecting to the fact that there's always a reference to Palestinians throwing rocks. Throwing rocks and using slingshots is hardly requires being shot and killed by Israeli snipers. There's no way that you can qualify this by anything other than murder in cold blood and war crimes. This is what I said to them. I'm not going to read the whole thing. I'm just going to tell you kind of the second part of the letter. I said, how about as part of the CBC's balance reporting, and I put balanced in quotations, if you mention the fact that the Palestinians in Gaza have been living under an illegal blockade for the past 10 years, that their living conditions are inhuman, that the illegal Israeli blockade constitutes collective punishment, which is itself a war crime. The renowned Israeli journalist Amira Haas has said that Gaza is a concentration camp. And the renowned Israeli historian Ilan Pape has called what is being done to the inhabitants of Gaza incremental genocide. How about the reports from the Israeli human rights group B'Tselem that not only warned in advance that the Israeli military were about to conduct a massacre, but has launched a new public campaign calling on Israeli soldiers to refuse such orders to shoot at unarmed protesters? How about the IDF tweet, later deleted, that bragged that they knew where every bullet landed? How about Gideon Levy from the Israeli newspaper Haaretz coined the term Israel massacre forces after last Friday? Then I said, for a contrast, from reporters live on the ground, you could have checked out Al Jazeera reporting, which stated, as unarmed protesters marched toward the border fence, Israeli soldiers opened fire. A good deal more journalistic integrity there than that shown by the CBC, wouldn't you say? And I concluded with the statement that the CBC's reporting on Gaza is abysmal. It marks the CBC as being complicit Israel's war crimes committed against the Palestinians. Accuracy, balance, integrity as characteristic of the CBC? I think not. How about falsity, servility, and lack of integrity? That's the substance of what I sent, and I did receive a response from an individual by the name of Jack Nagler from CBC News, Director Journalistic Public Accountability and Engagement, CBC News, and essentially, he, as far as I'm concerned, he just avoids the crux of the matter, which is that the CBC will not go into the details of the truth of what is going on. Here's one of the paragraphs that he sent to me. It says, CBC journalists are bound by a code of ethics that's considered to be rigorous, comprehensive, and detailed. It's formulated in our own handbook of journalistic standards and practice, which stresses accuracy, lack of bias, and integrity in reporting. What I would say is based on what I've seen, not accuracy but disinformation, not lack of bias but biased use of language, and as far as integrity in reporting, well, I would give that more to Al Jazeera on the question of Gaza than I would to the CBC or Radio Canada. I mean, let's also state the fact that it's not just the CBC and Radio Canada that are culprits here, and that the mainstream media here in this country has absolutely ignored the question when it touches it at all. It makes it appear that basically Palestinians are rioting and Israel is returning fire to rioting protesters. That's essentially what's been put forward. So you will see they will show Palestinian youth burning tires, throwing rocks, etc. And this is the type of biased media coverage that we see here. But the reason that I sent the letter particularly to the CBC that this is a public broadcaster. The services are paid for by taxpaying citizens of this country. Their job is supposed to be to report the truth such as it is happening. It is supposed to function not for fear of a particular lobby, but to state truth of what happens in the world. This is unacceptable. Let me mention two things here. One of them is that there was a journalist by the name of Kevin Metcalf who had the misfortune to want to state the truth about the Israeli snipers targeting journalists in Gaza. You know, they've now killed two journalists who were wearing press jackets, were clearly identified as journalists. Now, with the shooting and killing of the first journalist, Kevin Metcalf, who is a journalist who is a member of the Canadian Journalists for Free Expression, which is CJFE, condemned Israel unequivocally for targeting journalists. The response of the board of directors at the CJFE was to censor him, demand his removal from CJFE. I sent them a letter immediately. So did a number of other people, and I accused them of being complicit with the attempt to gag a journalist and to step all over freedom of speech, which is a transgression of the Charter of Rights and Freedoms. They subsequently made a statement where they backed away from their original decision to censor the journalist, but at the same time said that they were right in the first place. So in other words, they admitted that they were wrong, but they were also right. So I'll ask people to try and figure that one out. Neil MacDonald, who is a former CBC journalist and a commentator now, but is someone who covered the Middle East for a number of years, what he said, because he wrote an article which is on the internet, and it's I'll give you the title. It's called "Call Me Radical, But Journalists Should Be Able to Pledge Support for Palestinian Journalists," and this was on the CBC News website as an opinion, and this is what he says. I'm going to quote this particular paragraph because it's important. He says, "Some of Israel's supporters abroad took nearly as dim a view of my craft," because he as a journalist, was constantly criticized for reporting the facts on the ground in occupied Palestine. And eventually he was transferred from the Middle East to the Washington Bureau. And I would say that's more than a coincidence. He goes on to say, "Pro-Israel media watchdog groups and other activists in Canada, the United States, and the UK are quick to attack, characterizing reporters whose coverage they don't like as Israel haters or anti-Semites, urging their readers to mount letter-writing campaigns. Their efforts have worked. Many journalists and editors have come to understand that critical coverage of Israel can result at minimum in a professional headache and at worst in career damage." Now, let me give you a concrete example of how this works. Because I don't want to shoot at the messenger. You know, journalists do not have power-making decision. The decisions are made at a higher level. Decisions consistently go against any possibility of any individuals or groups that criticize Israel for its war crimes. And as a matter of fact, I can attest to the fact that no Jewish dissident like myself, be it from Palestinian Jewish Unity, from Independent Jewish Voices, or any other group, will ever be invited to a CBC, Radio Canada, at this point in time. The Palestinian question, the Palestinian narrative, simply not deceivable. I would like to just give you that concrete example of how it works. The same day that Donald Trump made his declaration about moving the U.S. Embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, I got a call from a CBC journalist, National News, and I'm not going to mention the journalist's name because the journalist's intentions were perfectly honorable. So the journalist who wanted to do the right thing wanted to interview someone who was not going to give them the standard response about how Israel is defending itself. And the journalist said to me, I agreed to the interview, and the journalist said, we want to interview you tomorrow, the following day, on camera. So let me just fix it up, and I'll call you back in 20 minutes. 20 minutes became 40 minutes, and 40 minutes became 60 minutes. I was not entirely surprised because it's not the first time. You start to expect these types of things. So I sent the journalist a text message. Journalist got back to me and said, sorry for the delay, in the middle of a meeting. And within 20 minutes, I got the answer by text message that unfortunately there all of the cameras at Radio Canada in Montreal had been reserved the next day by RDE. What an interesting coincidence. There was not even one single camera that was available to do the interview. I sent her back a text message saying that it was all right. It wasn't the first time that this has happened. And I understood that journalists do not have the power of decision-making and that the Palestinian narrative is problematical for the media in general, just to let the journalists know that we're not stupid and we know what's going on.
Hmm.
Let me know.
But doesn't it depend also, like, just to hear your opinion about that? So there are journalists who feel the pressure, unfortunately cannot do their jobs, but there are journalists who are actively working in complicity. You mentioned CJFE, for example. The backlash was actually journalists tweeting and saying, you know, I'm outraged by... So there are journalists who are actively complicit.
You're right about that. And as a matter of fact, I didn't mention it, but Neil MacDonald referred to Carol Off, who was a CBC journalist, who when she read the statement by Kevin Metcalf, the other journalist, about Israel targeting journalists in Gaza, she was upset. And the answer she gave is essentially Israel has to be held up to a different standard. As far as I'm concerned, that is the epitome of hypocrisy. And that's one of the problems. You're right about that. There are some journalists who are like Carol Off, willing to apply double standards to the question of international, not the question of human rights, etc. I'd like to read to you a couple of paragraphs by something was written by Andrew Mitrovica, and it is entitled Gaza is Soweto, Revisited. He expresses exactly what my own opinions and feelings are about what's going on here. And he says this, we're angry because on cue, the same lazy establishment media regurgitates the same lies about how unarmed Palestinians died in clashes with thugs in uniforms, trained to kill using high-powered weapons from a comfortable distance. We're angry because on cue, same servile establishment media, quoting the same Israeli officials, regurgitates the same lies that thousands of unarmed Palestinians are simply shields for Hamas and have, in effect, invited their own deaths. We're angry because on cue, same lazy establishment media always finds and publishes a picture of a young Palestinian hurling a rock or tire, imply that Palestinians have bear ultimate responsibility for being massacred. We're angry because even in the face of unassailable evidence that unarmed Palestinians were massacred by thugs in uniforms, the same European bureaucrats recycle the same predictable lines about the need for both sides to forego violence. We're angry because strutting liberal hypocrites like Canada's effervescent Prime Minister, Justin Trudeau, who insists the BDS movement is unacceptable and has no place on Canadian campuses, remains silent as our friends shoot unarmed Palestinians at will. We're angry because clearly Trudeau and Freeland have have forgotten the instructive lessons about how Canada failed, yes, failed, to respond to the murder of unarmed innocents in Soweto. The prevailing myth is that Canada stood up to racist South Africa. For a long time, it didn't. Indeed, throughout the 1970s, Trudeau's father, Prime Minister Pierre Trudeau, opposed the liberation struggle in Southern Africa led by Cuba. It was only after sustained pressure from an anti-apartheid coalition made up of churches, unions, and South African exiles who were smeared by the establishment media as terrorist sympathizers that Canada began belatedly in 1986 to take a qualified stand against South Africa's state-sanctioned racism and terrorism. Today, like yesterday, Canada is mute and unmoved while innocents are murdered in Gaza. And Canadians who are angry about Canada's silent complicity will, no doubt, be smeared as terrorist sympathizers and anti-Semites. Not to worry. As Palestinians know, time, history, and the slow, inevitable arc of justice are on our side. That, again, is a brilliant article by Andrew Mitrovica that appeared as an opinion piece in Al Jazeera. I agree 100% with every word of what he said out. And that is why we took it upon ourselves at PAJU to be in front of the Radio-Canada CBC building on René Lévesque. We handed out tracts to employees coming in and out of the Radio-Canada building. Yeah, interestingly, we had seen absolutely nothing about Gaza on the Radio-Canada website in a while. And interestingly, after presence there on Friday, suddenly there is a report on more killings of Palestinians in Gaza, which appeared on their website. That's either a coincidence or they're starting to feel the heat concerning their miserable coverage.
So just to clarify, so you're talking about an action that PAJU did this Friday in front of CBC building in Montreal.
That's right, and we'll be doing it again this coming Friday. We'll be there again. We'd like people to, as many of your listeners who would like to, show up and to denounce what we consider to be poor coverage, when there is coverage at all, of the situation in Gaza and the disinformation, which is all part of complicity. Because let's face it, if Israel is able to continue to act with impunity to murder unarmed protesters at will, that is because there are politicians like Justin Trudeau, Chrystia Freeland, Andrew Scheer, and so many others in Canada, in the United States, in the West in general, and in the Arab countries as well. Let's face it, the Arab League is a sham, and the media. And these institutions are complicit crimes that are committed against the Palestinians. What we want is for CBC Radio-Canada to report that a second journalist has been killed in Gaza, to report that an Israeli general by the name of Brigadier General Zvika Fogel is on record as stating that snipers stationed along that fence at Gaza have been given orders to shoot at children deliberately under clear and specific orders. 2 weeks ago, I believe it was, an Israeli sniper killed a 14-year-old Palestinian boy by the name of Muhammad Ibrahim Ayoub, shot in the head east of Jabalia. And he was the fourth child among the more than 30 Palestinians killed at that point during their war now, the Great March of Return. More than 1,600 other Palestinians have been shot with live ammunition. It's caused what doctors are calling horrific injuries because the Israelis are also using what is called dum-dum bullets. These bullets explode, they're hollow, and when they explode, they just shatter the leg, whatever they hit. So there's an increasing number of these horrific injuries that result in amputations. You've been hearing in the media about how the Israeli snipers are defending Israel's border. That's a lie. In 2014, Israel created a buffer zone between the Israeli border, Gaza. Now, at the end of that buffer zone is this particular fence, which they are not allowing the Palestinians to approach. In other words, this fence is in Gaza. It's on Palestinian territory. So basically what the Israelis are saying, you do not approach this fence to enter into the military buffer zone, and if you get within 250 meters or whatever, we'll shoot you dead. In other words, they're murdering Palestinians so that they cannot approach a security fence which is already within their territory, and they're nowhere near the Israeli border. So let's get that straight. The media hasn't pointed that out at all. That's part of...
But even just to, like, even if that's the argument to mention, I mean, aside from the context of occupation, the idea, let's say Canadian went and protested on the border with the U.S. Does that mean the U.S. military should shoot them and kill
them? Exactly.
Like, what is
or
that argument?
Let's put it another way. Okay? We, on a number of occasions, we've gone to the. This happened just recently. We went to the Israeli consulate in support of Ahed Tamimi. So basically, what we should do then is to give Israel the right to have snipers at the windows of the consulate and to shoot protesters down here in Montreal. Because if they can do it in Gaza, why shouldn't they be given the right to do it anywhere? Mm-hmm. I mean, if it's a transgression of international law, and people like Trudeau and others... who give the give Israel carte blanche to transgress human rights law and international law at their will, well, then it's the same thing. Just open the windows and shoot protesters down. Say, well, we're defending ourselves, that they were approaching the Israeli consulate. You know, in terms of murder, well, once you've opened that Pandora's box. Well, and they can murder anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
They mentioned that they gave orders to shoot Palestinian children, and they've killed several of them. And Naftali Bennett, who is one of the members of Netanyahu's coalition government, said, well, you know, they should have been in school. that's his reasoning. In other words, if they're in school, we won't murder them. But if they're here, we'll murder them.
Yeah.
What do you call that? Is that Nazi-like or is it not? I say it is. And I'm damned if I'm going to be shut up by any group of master blackmailers who are going to refer to me as a self-hating Jew or are going to refer to other people who criticize that type of inhuman behavior as anti-Semitic. I'll say this. As far as Israelism, that is the worship of the State of Israel, and bowing at the altar of the State of Israel goes, that's over. This has ended now with the massacres at Gaza. The same way that Soweto signaled the end of apartheid in South Africa, this signals the inevitable end of apartheid in Israel. Their system is going to go down.
Mm-hmm.
There's no doubt about that.
With us on the phone, Bruce Katz. Bruce is a co-founder of PAJU, Palestinian and Jewish Unity, a Palestine Solidarity Group here in Montreal. Bruce was talking about a recent letter he sent to CBC objecting on their extremely biased and distorted coverage of what is happening in Gaza right now. And also he gave us his thoughts on, generally speaking, how mainstream media in general and politicians are playing a role and being complicit with the Israeli crimes, Israeli occupation crimes against Palestinians. So thank you very much, Bruce, for talking to us.
Thank you. If my tone was one of anger, it is because I'm angry, I'm fed up. I'm disgusted with what I'm seeing happening to peaceful Palestinians who simply want to be left to live their lives like any other human beings.
My name is Sausan Kadura, and you are listening to Under the Olive Tree.
This Week in Palestine, the International Middle East Media Center's weekly report from occupied Palestine,
and is broadcasting each Tuesday morning on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal, Quebec.
Tune in each week at 7:10 a.m. for a roundup of news on struggles for land and justice in occupied Palestine.
Recorded and produced by independent Palestinian journalists and allies at IMEMC.
For more information, visit imemc.org or ckut.ca.
In this high-tech digital age, with high-definition television, digital radio, all we get is static. That veil of distortion and lies and misrepresentations and half-truths that obscure reality. When what we need the media to give us is the dictionary definition of static, criticism, opposition, unwanted interference. We need a media that covers power, not covers for power. We need a media that is the fourth estate, not for the state. And we need a media that covers the movements that create static and make history.
With us on the phone from Vancouver, Hanna Kawaz. Hanna is a Palestinian activist from Vancouver. He's the chairperson of the Canada-Palestine Association. So in our second interview, we are continuing our coverage and talk about Canadian media's coverage of the mass shooting and massacre that is taking place in Gaza by the Israeli occupation. So far, the numbers, I believe, are 41 Palestinian who were killed, and almost 6,000 Palestinian injured. Now, in our first interview, we talked with activists, Montreal-based activist Bruce Katz from PAJU, Palestinian and Jewish Unity, and we discussed mainly a letter that he sent to CBC objecting their coverage and the kind of disingenuous coverage that they've been doing about the ongoing events and violence in Gaza. So now I'm going to move on and talk with Hanna. Hanna also, he's from Vancouver, as I mentioned. And also Hanna sent a letter to CBC objecting on the same issue. Actually, Bruce told me that he styled his letter based on Hanna's letter. He even included some of the things that Hanna mentioned in his own letter. So I'm going to talk with Hanna about why he first felt the need to send this letter that is published on the Palestine Chronicle. And it was published on April 6th, if you want to go and read the entire thing. And also, we're going to talk with Hanna about another letter that several civil society organizations here in Canada sent to our government, the Canadian government, asking Trudeau to impose sanctions on the Israeli government because of the massacre they have been committing and still are committing in Gaza. So first of all, thank you, Hanna, for talking to us today.
Thank you for inviting me.
So as I mentioned, you sent a letter to CBC and then made it public on the Palestine Chronicle on April 6th. And the letter was called Your Biased Coverage of the Land Day Massacre. And this letter was for CBC. So maybe can you talk to us about this letter? What did you see in CBC coverage that made you feel that you need to object and let them know?
Yeah, actually, we posted it on our website, on Canada Palestine Association website, as CBC Influenced by Zionist Lobby. That's the title. Mm. The other title was from the Palestine Chronicle. Basically, we felt obliged to really answer them because it is Canada's national public broadcaster. And, you know, taxpayers, us included, are paying their salaries. Mm. So for them to be biased is, outrageous. And, although they claimed to be, all sorts of things, as a public broadcaster, they claim to have accuracy, fairness, balance, impartiality, and integrity. And none of the above we noticed in their covering of what happened in Gaza. So, the corporate media is understandable that they side with Israel and they're not objective, from the National Post to the Globe and Mail to, you name them, It's clear why they side with the Israeli lobby as a multinational corporation's mouthpieces. So, we felt that it's really important to call it. And not just that, we also, at the same time, we called a demo to protest the land day massacre in front of CBC here in Vancouver, because we felt really strongly that what they are doing is biased and doesn't have really the minimum of requirement of being balanced reporting. So that's why we wrote it. And in it, you know, we showed the first report that came from inside occupied Palestine was, reported few things, that were a bit objective, not much objective, but a little bit. And the honest reporting get to them and they criticize them for not being accurate and,
Can you first maybe explain who is honest reporting? This is a group, a pro-Israel group. What do they do? Who are
they? Yeah, honest reporting, Canada, that is really a Zionist organization that monitors the media, and the last thing they do is being honest, really. So they really try to monitor the media and make sure that the media presents the Israeli point of view to be biased towards Israel, basically. I have it here in front of me. This is from Honest Reporting. CBC reporting of mass Palestinian protests and riots along Gaza border replete with errors and omissions. And basically, their main criticism, two things. One, that the CBC reporter Stoffel, when he mentioned in his report, this original report, by the way, this report can be found anywhere, not even in CBC, because they took it off their website, CBC, because of the criticism of this dishonest reporting.
It's a report by Derek Stoffel, who is the news correspondent of CBC in the Middle East.
And he's stationed in Israel, not just in. He's stationed in Tel Aviv, and Jerusalem. So their objection was that the commemoration of the Land Day, he said, were six Palestinian Israelis were killed in protests. So they objected to that, that he shouldn't say six Palestinian Israelis, because they're supposed to be Arab Israelis. And then another mistake they thought it's sacrilege was that the Palestinians were forced out of, during the Nakba, out of their home Palestine or homeland Palestine. They thought it should be that the Palestinians fled. They weren't forced out, which is against the distortion of history and distortion of any facts, really. And I, in my letter to them, I explained why it's a distortion and that they should be more objective and consult with Palestinian historians and Israeli historians. Palestinian historian like Waleed al-Khalidi, who wrote his book All That Remains, where he documents the destruction of over 400, by name and by figures, by everything, 400 Palestinian towns and villages that were destroyed and depopulated. Depopulated means forced out, not fled, basically. So, and or with, Israeli historian Ilan Pepe and his book, Ethnic Cleansing of Palestine. And I gave them a link to both these things. And, this was nonsense, basically, to come to the dictates of this Zionist organization. So, a few hours later, his first report, which disappeared, like said, from their website, they really, this Stoffer said exactly what they wanted, The second report, he said they fled, and he called the Palestinian Israelis, Arab Israelis. Again, this was one of the issues of the news, The most important thing, really, of the the CBC reporting was the distortion of what happened. The reporter quite clearly thought that the Palestinians started rioting, stone throwing, Molotov throwing, you know, all that nonsense, you know, and that the Israeli army just responded to these acts of violence rather than a peaceful demonstration, like everybody knows and most media all over the world reported that they were peaceful demonstration, including the Israeli media, by the way, including, you know, human rights organization Bezalem, too, reported what happened. Actually, the Bezalem warned before the whole thing started that the Israeli army is going to commit a massacre. They warned. So, again, the way they reported it was the Israeli narrative, word by word, you know, that they were responding to rioting and they were responding to Molotov throwing. And in it, you know, I said, you know, your reporter nor any other reporter, if this was the case where it was rioting and, you know, stone throwing and Molotov cocktail launching against the Israeli army, how come your reporter or and not any other reporter told us how many casualties the Israelis had? And obviously there was none, you know, nobody reported it. And in fact, there was not one single Israeli injured, let alone killed, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's clearly it's not rioting, you know, it's not equal basis, you know. The people are demonstrating to demand their right of return to their homeland peacefully. And every organization in Gaza asks the people to be peaceful, just to show to the world the Israeli brutality. And clearly they showed their true face, their fascist and neo-fascist attitude towards the Palestinian people, and they consider them as subhumans. The other thing he just mentioned, that Stouffer, the CBC reporter, he said, you know, that this act of the Palestinians, the return march, was a security threat to Israel. It was outrageous how such a peaceful demonstration is a security threat. And this is his analysis, you know. It's not, maybe it's an Israeli analysis because it fits into their propaganda and their hasbara. You know, but he came out and he said, you know, these demonstrations are a security threat to the Israeli state. I asked him, you know, who's the security threat? Israel that violates international law and doesn't abide by certain resolutions, including the right of return resolution 194 and the United Nations resolution 181, the partition plan. Who's the security threat? The people who violate international resolutions, or you know, people who are trying to demonstrate peacefully to demand their rights. So again, you know, we haven't received any response yet. The ombudsman of CBC answered us. She said the CBC has 20 working days to answer, and that was 10 days ago or 2 weeks ago. So we're waiting for the response to the letter, and we'll see. I'm sure, well, I'm not holding my breath for any intelligent response, but again, this shows the bias, not just in corporate media, but also in our national public broadcasters, because we told them at the end, we ask you to respect your stated values, especially accuracy and impartiality, and to not cave into pressure of a lobby group that is more concerned with serving a foreign government than in bringing the truth to the Canadian public or to the public in Canada.
Why do you think they kind of succumb to this pressure? The thing that I'm trying to kind of understand is like why these groups have so much power or so much pressure on journalists and people who run the show in CBC. Do they have really that much power? Is it people on the high level in CBC ideologically maybe also agree, so they it fits also their belief? Is it journalists who are too lazy? Like, why an article by Honest Reporting will influence so much this reporter for him to change completely his language that was already not that good, and he changed it even worse.
Yeah, I think, you know, the let's not kid it ourselves. The lobby is powerful, and it has tens of millions of dollars in their budget, and they use it to really buy politicians and buy, you know, reporters. And when I mean buy, you know, these people, some of them are mercenaries, you know, and they feel if they don't abide by what the lobby tells them, they're going to either lose their job or being slandered. Anti-Semite is a powerful accusation against any journalist or any politician. So that's one thing. The other thing, it's not totally the work of the lobby. It's also the government of Canada and the establishment. This is not really peculiar to Canada. It's the whole Western world, headed by the U.S. They feel that Israel is serving their interest in the Middle East, and the Israel safety and security and well-being is in the interest of the Western world. So this is another thing. If they feel, I mean, it's clearly, it's not because they love the Jews, quote unquote, because, you know, during the Second World War, we saw how they had quotas on accepting Jewish refugees from the Holocaust. So, you know, I think if they feel that Israel doesn't serve their interests, the axe will come down on the Zionists and the Zionist lobby, and by extension, the Jews too, which I'm worried about, because I don't care much about the Zionists, but the innocent Jews who has nothing with this ideology. So this is the what's happening there. You know, I mean, I'll just quote you from the Jewish philosopher Nahum Chomsky. He said, Israel is an aircraft carrier for the U.S. and for the Western world in the Middle East. You know, so it's basically a military base for the U.S. that safeguards the interests of the Western world and its multinational corporation.
Mm. Another thing I noticed in some of the articles, there's an article in Radio-Canada in French called Les Palestiniens de Gaza continuent de manifester leur colère à la frontière d'Israël. So Palestinians in Gaza continue to protest their anger or to manifest their anger at the border with Israel. This article was a little bit better, but it was published after the action in front of Radio-Canada here in Montreal, and Bruce was saying he believes that the action kind of had an effect and forced them to state some facts. But one thing I noticed even in that article is that they always kind of, every time they want to talk about the protest, they always want to say protest supported by Hamas, because they know in the context of the Western audience, they say Hamas, people automatically imagine Islam as violence, terrorism. But the reality is these protests are supported by Hamas and Fatah and all political factions and civil society and BDS. So mentioning Hamas all the time, it seems like to me this is indirectly wants to kind of discredit the protest.
I think you are right. They do it consciously. The other thing, did anybody ask these reporters that the people who are commemorating the Nakba, who are commemorating Land Day, which happened 42 years ago, and the Nakba 7 years ago, there was no Hamas then. They are protesting things that Hamas was not in existence. Hamas was established in the 80s, and by the way, it was supported by Israel to counter the secular forces that existed then inside the PLO, the other organization. So, I mean, this is also another way of nonsense, which I agree with you. They try to show Hamas in that way. Also, they forget that the Hamas is the government of Palestine. I mean, if you don't like Hamas, if you don't like the Liberal Party, it doesn't mean that all the Canadian people are Liberal Party and they're all bad, you know. And the same same with Hamas, is the official government that was, and they get the majority in the parliament in Palestine, the legislative assembly, the majority were from Hamas. They were elected, and everybody, including Carter, Jimmy Carter, observed this election, and they said they were fair and square. So why, I mean, the double standard and the hypocrisy. By the way, Canada was the first country in the world after Hamas won the election to call for sanctions against Palestinian, the new Palestinian government. So, I mean, it's clear hypocrisy and really an enmity against the Palestinian people and their representatives. Mm-hmm.
So I want to move on to the question of sanctions. The second letter I want to ask you about, which is a letter that Canada-Palestine Association signed, as well as many other groups here in Canada, asking the Canadian government to impose sanctions on Israel, especially after these kind of ongoing massacre and shooting of civilians. So can you talk about this letter and what you are asking for?
Yeah, basically the people here felt that the silence after this massacre of the Canadian government was deafening. The Canadian government, including the Minister of Foreign Affairs, claim that they support human rights all over the world and anywhere in the world, which shows they do that if it's in service of the empire of the U.S. and the Western countries' interest. If it's not in service of these their interests, then human rights go out of the window. So people felt that to call them on their hypocrisy, that we should issue such a statement. It was issued April 4th, and 48 organizations from across the country signed it, and it was sent to leaders of all major Canadian political parties, basically calling for economic sanctions to be imposed on Israel. You know, and in it clearly states, you know, that since you believe what's happening in the occupied territories, and this is from the Canadian policy, you know, that they consider the occupation of the West Bank, Gaza, East Jerusalem, and the Golan Heights is an occupation. The Fourth Geneva Convention should apply to these territories, including human rights under occupation, which the Fourth Geneva Convention talks about in details, about how you should govern an occupied territory. And the Article 1 of the Fourth Geneva Convention put the responsibility on the signatories to the Fourth Geneva Convention, of which Canada is one, that if they don't apply their responsibility, they are basically complicit in this violation of human rights. And Canada, as such, fits the bill. And in it, we clearly showed that Canada should speak out and also call for condemn the first what's happened, and second, to impose sanctions against Israel, because Foreign Minister Freeland tweeted, Canada will always do its utmost to defend human rights around the world. She didn't say just in certain areas like in Iran or in Venezuela. I don't know if you are aware that, for example, when the situation happened in Iran just the beginning of this year on January 3rd, she issued the following statement saying, Canada is deeply troubled by the recent deaths and detention of protesters in Iran. The Iranian people has the right to freely assemble and express themselves without facing violence or imprisonment. We didn't see such a statement about what happened in Gaza. Also, just another example, just to show you the double standards and the hypocrisy of the Canadian government, last fall, September, October, the Canada imposes sanctions on key Venezuelan officials. 40 individuals, including President Nicolas Maduro, targeted. Why? Because basically they said that, quoting, Canada will not stand by silently as the government of Venezuela robs its people of their fundamental democratic rights. As if Israel doesn't rob the Palestinians of their fundamental democratic rights. So these are just two examples of the hypocrisy of the Canadian government. So we felt we should issue a statement. And, you know, as far as I know, they haven't responded to it. Actually, if anything, the response came from the highest office in this country, the Prime Minister Trudeau. And I'm quoting him. And this is 2 weeks on the 8th of April, 2 weeks after our statement. I'm quoting him here. Canada is proud to stand with Israel. We will continue to oppose efforts to isolate Israel internationally and work to expand the trade and the security relationship between our two countries. So we ask him for sanction, and he tells us he's going to expand the trade and security with Israel. So, I mean, here you go. This is, by the way, is part of a statement by the Prime Minister on Israel Independence Day. He goes to say that in 1948, Canada was one of the first countries to formally recognize Israel. 70 years later, Canada and Israel are united by democratic value and close people-to-people ties. You know, all this nonsense, you know. I mean, it goes on and on. But it shows you clearly that they really stand, and he said it many times, that he has Israel back. So he stands with Israel, and he doesn't want anybody to isolate Israel internationally, even if it commits murder, which that's what Israel did. And he's going to continue the expanding trade and security relationship between Canada and Israel. So, well, this is the answer. I mean, maybe people still, they say Canada's silent. No, Canada's not silent. Canada is siding with Israel, and very publicly.
With us on the phone from Vancouver, Hannah Kawaz. Hannah is a Palestinian activist from Vancouver, and he's the chairperson of the Canada-Palestine Association. Thank you very much, Hannah, for talking to us.
Thank you for inviting me. Keep up the good work.
My name is Sausan Kadura, and you are listening to Under the Olive Tree. And that's it for us for today. You are listening to Under the Olive Tree, the Palestine Solidarity Radio Show on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal and on CFRC 101.9 FM in Kingston, Ontario. My name is Sausan Kadura. I was your host for this hour. Please make sure to join me again next week, same time and same place. And until then, I wish you a free, free Palestine.